Welcome, ladies, to day two of the Fearless Woman of Faith 28-day challenge. Wow, I am so excited to be here today on day two, and I'm excited for you who are watching and who are watching the replay, because I know you're here for a reason, that God has ordained you to step in to a new level of faith in 2023 and to step out of the cave and into your calling. That is something that God spoke to me a few years ago. He said, I want you to call the women out of the caves and step into the calling, into their calling. The time of hiding is over. We need to be about our Father's business. And so today I'm excited to welcome my guest, Karen Medham, to the stage. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you, Lisa. It's such an honor to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
I am so honored to have you. And I just want to say thank you for your commitment to being available to share the message that God has put on your heart. Because for those who are listening, if you don't know, Karen is in the UK. I'm in Canada. And it is it's in the evening for her right now. But also, Karen is committed to helping women walk in their identity in Christ because of what God has done in her life. And I'm so excited to hear more about that story and for the women to understand the process, really. And it's all individual. God brings us through a process. And we don't understand sometimes when we're in it, where it's going. But it's a beautiful process that he's creating this masterpiece. So Karen, today we're talking about finding kingdom identity. I'd love it if you would share how this message got birthed in your heart, or what it is about this message that is personal for you.
I think there's so much in it. And I think, you know, when you've been asked the question, when you was a little girl, what did you want to be? And I was thinking about this the other day, and I'm thinking, I wanted to be a ballerina called Wendy. And it's like, and it was so random. I was about 5-6 years old. And it's like, and what I'd realized, even at such a young age, and I'd realized that, like, my name as Karen was, like, synonymous with the teachers of, like, telling me off for being too slow or for daydreaming or for getting into trouble. So I'm like, okay, so if I have a different name, then I could be Wendy, because Wendy's a really cool name. And I could be a ballerina, because ballerinas are really good. I was such a tomboy, and I would have much preferred to have, like, been out on the bike with my brother and his friends than doing ballet classes or climbing up a tree or doing whatever. And it's like, and it was just funny, because somebody said, what, you know, what would you like to be? And it's like, ballerina called Wendy. Of course I wanted to be that. But then, like, I went on a journey of, like, growing up in the church and almost struggling with my identity as I was growing up, because it was almost, I was trying so hard to be a good Christian and to please everybody around me. And to please God. And it's like, I loved God. Like, I became a Christian when I was about 7 years old. And I remember it, like, to this day. I remember the little Sunday school room that I was in. I remember the pastors that kind of prayed over me. And I remember just that feeling of, like, I know who Jesus is. But then during different things that had happened as I was growing up, and I was, like, just trying to be good. And if anybody's ever been told that it's like, you're just too much, you need to calm down, you need to be quiet, just be less than you are. So the amount of times that I was kind of struggling with that, with who I was and who I thought people expected me to be, and that kind of was through my teenage years as I was growing up through church.
I think what you're saying there is so important, because I believe every woman would probably relate to that at some level in their life, that there was this tension between being who they wanted to be and being who they thought they needed to be in order to be accepted, in order to be loved, whatever it is. And depending on the upbringing, you know, those messages can be stronger. So I would love it, those who are listening, and if you're listening to the replay, just put in the comments, say, yes, I've struggled with that same thing. And I just want to welcome you who are here today. So you were brought up in the church, and so the message in your heart, whether that be something that was pervading, was you needed to be good. You needed to have a certain behavior in order to be a Christian. Is that what it was, or be accepted by God?
I think it was kind of to be accepted in the church in some ways, because I mean, the amount of nights that I used to go to bed and I used to pray, and there was some like girls in my youth group, and they never got into trouble. And because I used to love going out with friends, and very often I used to go into town on a Friday, Saturday night, meet up with friends, very often used to drive into town, not drink at all, but people don't sometimes that they see that it's like over off into town again. And I used to pray and sort of like, God, can you please take this, whatever this is, can you please take this away from me so that I can just be quiet and be good girls like the other girls in the youth group.
Wow. So the thing about being quiet.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, can you please take this away from whatever this is that's kind of causing me to get into trouble, because I was like, you know,
what was this? How would you define that? What was this that you were referring to?
Sometimes just like bold and bubbly, and I would speak my mind, and I would speak truth. And sometimes, very often, I'd get home from church, and my mum would take me to one side, and she's like, "You've upset this person. You'll need to go and apologize and ask for forgiveness next week, because you've upset somebody at church because of what you've said." Or it was kind of that. Okay, well. That kind of me learning, but it's also like me learning how to kind of, I guess I got really good at guarding my heart, and then I wouldn't say anything and got afraid to say things. Who I'm going to apologize to next week? I'll just not say anything.
So it kind of probably brought a fear in you, a fear of saying something that was going to hurt someone or get in trouble, right?
Yeah.
I just want to say, Karen, there are many people who have commented saying, yes, I struggle with the same thing. It's just really resonating with a lot of people who are listening right now. So thank you for sharing that, because I think it's so important to identify what are those messages that maybe were planted or written on our heart as children. And this is not to diss our parents, because they did the best they could, knowing what they, you know, with what they knew. And as parents, we know that sometimes we look back, we think, oh, I wish I'd known.
Oh, sure. My kids will be like, oh, I'm glad of some of the things I've said and done to them as well.
Yeah. But what you've identified is some of those messages that got written on your heart that now brought fear to express who you really were.
Yeah. And it's what I found really interesting. So various things happened over the years that kind of like really caused me to kind of question how God saw me, because I was getting to a point, and you know, even with my husband, and I'm like, can you please just go and marry somebody else, somebody that's not a head case, somebody that is, you know, somebody that will look after you better than what I will. And I was even putting this onto my husband. Wow. And I'm like, please go and find that wife who is good at housework, who enjoys housework, who will, and even in that is like, you know, go and find somebody else, go and find another wife that will look after you and kind of be a lot better at cleaning or housework than what I am. And I got to a point of like reading Psalm 139, and I'm like, you created me before the foundations of the earth. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And I was like really meditating on that whole chapter, because there's so much in that. There's so much in that chapter. I could literally be here for another 3 hours and still not finish talking about it. And I had to come to the conclusion of sort of like saying, do I believe that I am fearfully and wonderfully made? That he made me like so unique, that there is only me in over 8 billion people that has my voice, even like your iris. Your iris is so different. It's unique. It's like your fingerprint. It's like your voice. Nobody else on the earth has your voice.
That's right.
And I'm like, so do I believe that God created me so uniquely with everything? And and I thought, well, either he has or he hasn't. It's either truth or it's lie. And so is God therefore capable of loving everybody else and singling me out? And I knew that I had to come to a decision of, do I believe what God says about me? And if I say yes, that actually became a really scary place for me, because I had to step out into a whole new realm of saying, okay, God, can you show me? I was looking at myself in the mirror and I'm going to say, okay, God, can you show me the Karen that you created before the foundations of the earth, rather than the one that I'm seeing in the mirror right now? Because they are two completely different people. Mm. And I think the Karen that you created, I think she'll be pretty cool and I'd like to meet her.
Mm.
And so it started taking me on this incredible journey of finding out who I am in him.
Wow. Wow. And what were some of the, can you just name a few of the shifts that happened in terms of from how you saw yourself to how he began to speak to you about what your true identity was in as a kingdom identity?
I think it started with a lot of heart healing.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of me choosing not to walk in the identity of some of the things that had happened in the past. And so I know that he challenged me, because I knew that I'd forgiven people. I had completely, that that part of my life, I'd been sexually abused growing up by different people. And I know that God did an incredible restoration in me, and through me choosing to forgive and walk through that forgiveness. But there was a part of me that I was still carrying what happened to me as part of my identity. So it's like, well, if I was having a bad day, it's because of what happened to me. It wasn't because I was choosing to be miserable that day, or because I was choosing to be moody that day. And so God just taking me through, and it's like, that is not your identity. Your identity is not what happened to you.
Your identity, so good,
is, you are a new creation. Your identity is, my mercies are new every morning. And so I'm like, oh. And when I got rid of that, it was almost like taking away a security blanket.
Wow. That
I didn't realize I'd been so used to holding on to it, because then it was, oh.
Now well, what?
And now that was all me. That was nothing to do with anything else.
Wow.
And so that was really powerful to sort of like, no, I own who I am now. I own my life.
That is so good. I just want to pause here for a moment, because what you said there is something that is can also then cause people to go backwards when there's that shift. And what was familiar for all of your life, the feelings, the what you called a security blanket, I love that analogy, that metaphor, is because now it becomes, we feel like, whoa, like now I feel different. I feel I don't have a security blanket. And so sometimes we don't know how to walk in that new way, because God is just taking off of us the things that we thought were our comfort and peace and true identity. But God is saying, no, let me give you my peace, lasting security, lasting identity that's not based on situational or based on someone else's or behavior even for that matter. So I don't know. And I know I experienced that where I like, oh, okay, is this really right? Like, because now I feel naked in some way.
Yes.
Did you experience that too?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm like, this is, it's like brand new territory, because I knew that I was owning my own like behavior, my words. And so everything then started to change, because it's like I was having to take captive those thoughts. I was having to choose to speak words of life or death.
Love
you
it.
Know, what words am I going to choose to speak? Am I going to, you know, speak to edify, or am I going to carry on the way that I always have done? And it was almost points of like, God, can you just hold my hand for a minute and just just walk the next few steps with me, because it's like, it is like new territory that I was entering, because I was taking ownership of who I was.
I love what you just said, because it really brings that personal responsibility to us. You know, God, I hear this all the time, women say, oh, I wish God would do this. You know what? God has done it all. He did it all. He gave us, he did away with sin. He has forgiven us. If you believe in Jesus, if you believe what Jesus has done on the cross, those who are listening, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that is the entry point into a world of freedom and love and peace and the things that we're describing here, defining your true identity. But Jesus said it was finished. He had finished his part. And now it's actually, we appropriate and make a choice, like you said. I'm going to choose to believe that's true, even though I don't feel like it in the moment. I'm going to choose. And this is where I think that fearless, becoming that fearless woman of faith is, where I'm going to go past my feelings to step into and walk in God's ways based on his word, and trust that the feelings will come later.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's not that you, and you are stepping forward into this with God. And that was the point for me, where I knew that I loved God, like without a doubt. So from being like 7 years old, like I loved God so much. And I couldn't receive his love. And I felt that I was trying to earn it. I was trying to earn his love by trying to be good the whole time, by trying to say the right things, pray the right things, pray for the right amount of time, you know? And it's like, and it wasn't until I said, okay, God, show me the Karen that you created. And it's like, once he started showing me parts of me that I completely missed or not seen, and it's like, I then could receive his love completely from him, because it wasn't this kind of I'm trying to earn it. It's like, no, because I'm reading the Bible and I either believe it or I don't. Yeah. So when he said that he loves me, you know, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son and replaced the whole world with my name, that he would have done that for me, that I am the apple of his eye, that my name is tattooed across his heart. It's written in the palm of his hand.
That's right.
I either believe that or I don't.
Yes.
So if I believe it, then why am I living so small, and why am I trying to change this person that he's created me to be?
That's so good. I love that. There's so much more that we can talk about on this subject. And I'm sure that, you know, as the days go on, we'll have more conversations with other women as well on this subject, because it's core. It's a foundational message in terms of walking as a fearless woman of faith, as a woman who believes God and who's all in to become who God has called us to be, no matter what. And either you believe it or you don't. That's right. Whoever said that there. I know that there's a passage that you wanted us to look at today. Would you like us to transition to that right now?
Yeah, no, that would be great. So there's actually, I think this story is actually recorded in each four of the Gospels, but it's, whether it's a different person every time, whether it's a different, I don't know. I'm still kind of like looking into that. The one that I've got is Mark 14, verse 3, and it says, while Jesus was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar full of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume over his head. So that's the one from Mark, and I think you've got one from, is it Matthew?
Matthew 26. So I'll read it. And just as a side note, I believe it's the same person from what scholars have said. It's just different people have, it's kind of like when we have different reports on what we see. Sometimes we see something highlighted to us, we will write that down. So then Jesus went to Bethany, to the home of Simon, a man Jesus had healed of leprosy. A woman came into the house holding an alabaster flask filled with fragrant and expensive oil. She walked right up to Jesus, and in a lavish gesture of devotion, she poured the costly oil, and it cascaded over his head as he was at the table.
I love that. That's so much more descriptive.
This is the Passion Translation.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. It's so good. And I know there's another one where she washes his feet. What I love about this and why I think she's so fearless is because, like, in those times, for a woman to even touch a Pharisee or a person or a man anyway, is like it's totally against their culture. For her to walk in and be so, do you know what? I am going to honor Jesus. I'm going to show Jesus how much I love him. And she's brought probably her life savings, like the dowry. It would probably have been a dowry that she would have broken over him. Yeah. And, you know, and I find it really fascinating because, like, the smell is, like, one of the most powerful, like, it triggers your limbic system from your nerve. And it's like, so if I smell polos, I instantly can think, like, instantly remember my granddad or, you know, some his aftershave that he used to wear. So the smell that would have, fragrance would have filled the entire room.
Yeah.
From her act of worship, of love, but that's such intimacy as well, that she chose to do that. And Jesus took that as, you know, there were only specific people that were anointed back then as well, priests. And he was saying, look, she's anointing me for burial. She's preparing me. She knows what's coming. And I think for me, like, I just got this beautiful picture of, like, when everybody's done, you've got all the Pharisees that are kicking off and saying, that's too expensive. She shouldn't be wasting her money. And, you know, she's like, but this is Jesus, and this is like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that I get to stand before him. And I just get this beautiful picture of, you know, everything's done, everything finished, and Jesus walks out smelling incredible of all this beautiful perfume and oil that's just covered. Yeah. And then the Pharisees walk out, then the disciples walk out, and then she walks out right at the end, and they're like, wait a minute. She smells exactly like he does. And it's just this beautiful picture of, like, her heart for Jesus and, like, I want to pour as much love into you as I can while you're here with me.
Yeah.
Regardless of what it costs, regardless of what it costs me as a woman with my hair down and my brazen display of love. And I'm thinking, I resonate to this woman so much. In the sense of, you know, it's like people look down on her or saw her from their eyes, and she saw her for who she really was. And I think that's the part that I just love about it.
What a beautiful picture. Yes, because she had to be pushing past the fear of criticism, of judgment, of scorn from, like you said, because this was not allowed for women to, and for men to allow women in public to do that. It was a very intimate moment, really. But it demonstrated her commitment and devotion, like her surrender, complete surrender to the fact that he deserves all of my affection right now. And I think the gratitude, you know, the gratitude of her heart, the thankfulness drove her to say, my life is not my own. And I just love that she was willing to push past that. And that's what you're saying. But Jesus affirmed her, said, yeah. And in fact, it says that people will remember her and tell her story. And here we are telling her story.
Absolutely. And it's like, and she had to push past not just like the prejudices of the culture and the community at the time, but also what other people would have been saying about her and how they saw her. And it's like, you know, and I think for me, this is like where I am and where I've been for a while. It's like, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Okay, let's push past and let's like not worry about what other people are going to say, think, do, because this is what you've called me to do. Yeah. Walk in his identity with that.
You know, I was just thinking, Karen, because really it's an act of surrender and devotion. Like, I'm all in, God, whatever you have for me, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get close to you, to really live my life in devotion to you. And I know that God has brought you on a journey. And from what I've known of you, Karen, you have that same heart. Like, you get up in the middle of the night to get on coaching calls. You invest your time, your energy, your money, because you know God has calling you forward into a purpose. And I just am so inspired by that when I see that. I'm like, wow, this lady is all in. She is invested.
Thank you. But it's, do you know what? It still takes pushing past that. Though, and it still takes pushing past that. But for me, it's like, I know that, like, God will challenge me over things, and I can't, when he challenges me to do things, sometimes it's a thing of what if. So if he asks me to pray for somebody, I still have a decision to pray for them or not. And I remember, I'll just quickly share this. I was in a shopping mall about 2 years ago, and Tim was looking for some shoes, and I was sat in a shoe shop, and I was just sat down looking around at some of the things. I noticed one of the staff was walking with a limp, and I'm like, and I just kind of like took note of it, and then just knew that God was asking me to go pray for him. And I'm like, God, are you kidding me? Like, we're shopping, Tim's wanting to buy shoes. And I started getting this churning feeling. My hands were going sweaty. And I'm like, oh, God, really? We're in the middle of the shopping center. Mm-hmm. But I knew that it was challenging me to say, you have a decision to make. You can walk out of this store and I won't think any less of you, and I won't love you any less if you have a decision to make. So What's it going to be? And I'm like, I hate it when you do that. I ended up having this really awkward conversation with a guy, and sort of like saying, okay, can I pray for you? I believe in a God that heals. I believe in. Mm-hmm. And so I sat there, and it was in the middle of the shop, and it took courage for him to do that as well, because he's like this crazy lady kind of like wanting to pray for me. And so I prayed for him and nothing happened. And I walked out saying, okay, God, what was that about? And it's like, it was about obedience.
Yeah.
And it was about, you know, and I'm like, God, I know that I was just a tiny chain, a seed in that person's life. And I'm like, I'm just praying that he gets to know you, regardless of whether he gets healed or not. And so for me, it's that, even those taking steps of faith and through the fear of, I don't want to look stupid in the middle of a shopping mall while my husband's buying shoes and I'm sat here praying for this guy. And so for me, it's like breaking through, because I would have walked out of there thinking, but what if he'd have walked out? What if he'd have walked home without that limp? What if God had, you know? And so even those mindsets that we have to change to break
through. So good. You know, I'm reminded of the scripture where it talks about Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. You know, he was focused on love and had to dispel the lies of the enemy that tried to come at him. We see his struggle in the garden and in the desert as well. And the same is true for us. What I hear you saying, and I just want to reiterate for those who are listening, is how to walk through that fear and become fearless is to shift our focus onto the love of God in obedience to him and off of the lies of the enemy. Don't let the lies be your focus in terms of what is true and what is powerful, but what is the love of God calling you to do? And when we get our eyes even off ourselves and onto him, it creates a whole new energy in us and motivation. Yes, yes. I love the responses people are making in the comments. So Karen, just as we close off today, something you said earlier was you prayed, show me, Lord, the Karen that you created. And I'm wondering if you would pray that today for the women who are listening, that that God would show them who they are, but also that they would choose to receive that love.
Absolutely. Lord Jesus, I just thank you. What an absolute honor it is to be able to, God, just connect with hearts and lives across technology, across ponds, across oceans, God, across time zones. And God, I just pray for each and every woman that's watching this live, for watching it on replay, God. And I just pray, God, that they would have a desire to meet the woman that you created.
Mm-hmm.
The one that you have endless thoughts over night and day, that the one that you sing over, God. And I just pray that they would start to meet the woman that you created.
Yeah.
That God, that they would throw away all the thoughts of who they see or who they think other people see, God. And I just pray that they would start to love the person that's in front of them, in front of the mirror, God, even if they have to do that with tears at the start, God. I just pray that they would start to lay off, God, everything that has hindered them. That, God, all the burdens that they would cast onto you, every thought that they would take captive, and, God, make it submitting unto you, God, that if that comes in line with what you say about them, that they will meditate on it and say, God, you think I'm the apple of my eye. I am more precious than rubies. That you have tattooed their names across your heart, that their names are engraved in the palm of their hand, God. And I just pray, God, that the giftings that you've given them, God, there are women here watching this, they've written songs.
Yes.
They've written books. They've got poetry. They've got plays. They've got movies inside of them, God. Mm. They've got businesses inside of them, God, that they know they've had for years, God, and they've been so scared to step out and do that or release that or get that published, God, because they've been so afraid of what other people will think about it, God. And I just pray right now, God, that you'll just break any chains of that and just release them into a whole new season, God, of just finding the giftings that they have.
Yes.
The fruit that's already in them, God. And I just pray for each and every woman as they're watching this on replay, God. Pray that you would pour your spirit out on them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Karen. And if you want to connect with Karen, she has a group in for the UK. She's raising up women in the UK in business, and you'll want to connect with her. If you're anywhere near that area of the world, you'll want to connect with her. And so she can tell you more about that, but connect with her on Facebook. And is that and what's the name of your group?
So I've got one for UK Women in Business. I think that's what it's called, UK European Women in Business. So have a look for it. You'll find it there. But if you find me, just ask me and I'll direct you to it. But great.
Awesome. Thank you so much for tuning in today. And keep it in your phone, keep an alarm every day. At the same time, we're going to have a woman that is going to share with you a bit of her story, but also scriptural reference to help you understand that God has called you to be a fearless woman of faith, because he's created you with a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind, self-discipline, not a spirit of fear. And so the more that we realize the enemy tries to keep us back by this fear and intimidation, the more we will stand up and be who God has called us to be. So I want to encourage you ladies to be fearless today. Write in the Facebook group comments to say, how has God spoken to you today through this session today? I'd love to know your takeaway if you put it down below this video so that we can glorify God together of what he's speaking to you. Thank you again, Karen. Have a beautiful day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.